The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825, and Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, thanks for joining us and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what do we have this week in recovery news?
So the Sackler family, if people are familiar with the Sackler family, they own Purdue Pharmaceuticals, which put out OxyContin in the late early 2000s, I believe, or late 1990s.
I think it was mid-1990s, I think.
So they put out OxyContin, which was thought to fuel the opioid epidemic, has won immunity for civil lawsuits against them. The billionaire owners made a settlement for $6 billion. Roughly $750 million of the settlement will go to individual victims. As part of the settlement, the family will give up ownership of the company, and it will be rebranded as Canoa. The family will also allow their names to be removed from buildings and scholarships.
Okay. I hope that money is allocated in the right way.
Yeah, me too. Because remember that a couple years ago we had a lawyer on that was saying that – I mean, you're seeing $750 million given to the actual victims. The rest is going to the governments, basically. And what we found out before is a lot of it goes to corporations, goes to lawyers, and very little actually ends up helping treatment.
And if they have screwed over a million people, each person would get $750.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's ridiculous. And
you know, and it's a shame, too, because – it looks like Purdue is going to have to pay out the settlement, and the family itself is being protected.
There you go.
There you go. Big money, Gare.
Yeah,
big money.
What else you have?
So in New Mexico, someone found a surprise in their fast food at a local Sonic. This comes out of Espanola, New Mexico. Celine Gonzalez went to a Sonic and ordered a hot dog. She took a bite and figured out that she bit down on a small plastic bag filled with white powder that later tested positive for cocaine. Police watched video and they say the cook was responsible. He looked like he was frantically searching for something. He later admitted that his cocaine had ended up in her hot dog and said that he had bought the cocaine in the Sonic parking lot.
Wow.
Yes.
So that's a I don't know what that is.
He lost his cocaine.
He lost it, and he was frantic looking for it as he was preparing food, right?
As he was preparing food, and then he later realized that it had made it into somebody's Sonic hot dog.
Wow.
I mean, could you imagine? You're eating this hot dog, and you bite down on something. It's a bag of Coke.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, that would have been good at some time, you know, in the old days.
At some point.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Okay, listen, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I want the audience to be honest with themselves. The question is, once you stop using, do you actually think at that moment or shortly after that your body goes back to being normal? We'll find out when we get back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care, backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF now. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hi, I'm Billy J. Kramer. And I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
You can also watch and listen to us besides WWDB in Philadelphia on WPEN 97.5 HD2 in Philly, WWWE 1100 in Atlanta, Georgia, WHFS Tampa, Florida, and WGAC in Augusta, Georgia. So before we went to the break, I presented a question. Do we actually think that once we stop using, we're in the clear as far as the damage or potential damage that the drugs and alcohol did to us? And joining us today, of course, is our dear friend Linda E. is with us. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hello, Linda.
So, guys, let's start talking about this. I want to know, this is really pathetic when I say this, but I'm an expert on Quaaludes, okay? You know, some people are an expert on stuff that's really worthwhile. I'm an expert on Quaaludes because I figured out that I did well over 14,000 of them and stopped in 1982. So Quaaludes, for those who don't know what it is, it was classified as a hypnotic back in the 60s, 70s, and very early 80s. It attacked the central nervous system. It triggered euphoria, drowsiness. A Quaalude high could also reduce heart rate. So a lot of the dangers were respiratory depression, sensitivity to light, slurred speech, headaches, memory loss, seizures, depression, all that kind of stuff. That's when you were taking it. The long-term effect, I'm not sure that they actually know what the long-term effect. You know, sometimes, guys, sometimes when I feel something, I say to myself, you know what? Maybe this has to do with my addiction. Maybe Mark, I know we've talked about this.
We get.
Maybe all those Quaaludes, I knew they did harm to the liver. That was one thing that was proven. So maybe I'm just paying the price for all that, because listen, you can't put anything in your body so foreign in such quantity to get off scot-free, right? I mean,
yeah, you can. And I was actually, before the show, there's actually you can take tests on your life expectancy if you've used certain drugs, if you've used cigarettes, and you have to plug in different data, how long you use them. And I'll tell you, it doesn't look good with things like cigarette smoking. You know, you'll see it knocks 9 to 14 years off your life. Different drugs, you can plug them in there. And
wow.
A lot of people, unfortunately, even getting sober, I don't want to say this to you, Gary, but you don't make it to 70, you know, but there's a lot that make
either,
it
so
over, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I wouldn't want to know that.
I wouldn't either. But it's kind of scary.
Linda, would you like to know when you're going to die?
Absolutely not. I don't want to know.
I
assume it'll be earlier than other people because of all the damage we did. But I don't want to know. I definitely don't want to know. It'll be a surprise to everybody.
It'll be a pleasant surprise to everybody else.
Exactly.
And maybe we'll end up like those people that you find that live to like 102 and they smoke cigarettes their whole life, right?
Yeah. You know, the Quaalude aside from the recreational use, the withdrawal symptoms can be severe, requiring specialized drug rehab. Drug rehab centers look for muscle tremors, anxiety, irritability, hypothermia, tachycardia, nausea, hallucinations. Listen, that's why when you come off of certain drugs, you have to be detoxed. You have to be.
Yes, and you have to be careful with this because certain ones – you know, again, these seizures can be deadly, and, you have to do it in a medical setting.
Yeah. I know. I just think – and, Linda, I want your input on this also. I just thought, you know, once you stopped, everything's cool. It's almost the ridiculous mentality when you did illegal stuff and you stopped using drugs and went to rehab that everybody would forget about the bad stuff that you did. It doesn't happen.
No. They don't forget, and apparently our bodies don't forget.
Right.
So I do the same thing. When I go to the doctor and I have a tachycardia or arrhythmia, I think, oh, my God, could this be from all those years of doing speed and coke? And did I do something? So that's our other mentality, that we're blaming ourselves. But who knows? Maybe we would have had these things anyway, but maybe we did so much damage that now we have little things going on.
And I think we should point this out. We're not saying that if you were a drug addict or an alcoholic, you're doomed.
No.
You know, if you're still using stop now to decrease the chances of bad things happening to you, you have the opportunity to stop. Don't take the mindset, well, I've already been using for 5-10 years. What's the sense of stopping? You can reduce the effects of this stuff if you stop now.
By a ton.
Right?
You can really, you know, the body's got this amazing way of healing itself. And for instance, the liver, you do liver damage and it doesn't get to the point where it gets to cirrhosis. You know, those liver enzymes go back to normal relatively quickly a lot of times after you stop. Linda, did you ever think about these consequences when you were doing it? Me neither.
Never, not for a minute. We didn't think about it at all.
No way.
Farthest thing. Right?
We never thought about it. I had no idea what a seizure was. You know, and I had a couple of clients, 20 years using benzos, Xanax, and Ativans, and they have a permanent seizure disorder.
Wow.
But 20 years of heavy, heavy use.
Uh-huh.
And now they're treated in a special department down at Penn that's just the seizure team. And they try not to give them the benzos, but sometimes they have to because the seizures are so dangerous. And we know from working in rehabs that benzos and alcohol – sudden withdrawal, depending on the use, can cause a seizure. And that's why those two things we always highly recommend rehab.
I don't think people realize how serious it is to get off of alcohol.
It is.
They don't. I've had a lot of clients that, you know, will tell me that they just, their shakes just started getting worse and worse in the morning. And then they finally, you know, kind of figured out they were physically hooked. But it's actually one of the toughest ones to withdraw from, especially if you're in late stage alcoholism. It's very ugly, you know, hallucinations and, you know, all kinds of things come along with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
You know, what you brought up before, I'm just thinking if I would have given it any thought that what I was doing to my body would be harmful, it wouldn't matter one bit. I wouldn't have changed one bit. Because it wouldn't happen to me. It always happened to somebody else.
Of course.
It's the mindset. And I'll tell you what. I mean, I think about I think about kids' lungs. They're probably so white and pristine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know to this day, even though I don't smoke anything, you know what I mean? Cigars, which probably doesn't help. But they're probably like pretty darn dark.
Mark. I don't want to think about that, you know? I did stop smoking.
You did?
Yeah.
2 months Congratulations.
Ago.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's why you haven't invited us for cigars after the show.
Do I feel any better? No. You know?
But
no. So
it's a huge, huge, huge positive.
Hey, what other drugs? What other stuff we got here? Let's talk about who has a speed or meth or whatever you want to call it, amphetamine?
I think both of us have.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it.
Well, I'll start with one of the big things that you see is out of all the drugs, one that is really known for possibly irreversible brain damage is methamphetamines.
Exactly.
You know, they believe that meth actually destroys dopamine neurotransmitters in the brain, which for people that aren't familiar, this is like the pleasure. This is how you feel pleasure in the brain. And what they're finding is that, you know, with most drugs, things kind of go back to normal. Ecstasy is another one that can destroy the receptors for dopamine. But for most drugs, it goes back to normal. But they're finding with meth, it doesn't necessarily return to normal.
Now, let me ask you a question. So when we talk about meth, are we talking about amphetamine? Are we talking about drugs like Black Beauties from the old days? I think it was called Bifetamine 20s. Mm-hmm. And there were other speeds. So all that is lumped into meth. But methamphetamine.
But meth is such a strong – it's like the strongest one. So you're going to – I believe it. You're going to see that more with meth, you know, more of the brain damage.
And it's shorter acting. So you're going to want more faster. So you can take a Black Beauty and not want one till tomorrow. But meth, you want it again in 5 minutes.
Really?
And the coke, the inflammation of the heart muscle, aortic rupture, and severe declines in health and life quality – and reducing your cardiac function. So did we damage everything? Did we damage our hearts?
I had a friend of mine, a good friend, who actually passed away due to an enlarged heart and complications of an enlarged heart in her 40s. And it was from doing coke for so many years because the heart's a muscle. Mm-hmm. So you're pumping it up and then it gets enlarged and enlarged and then you have more problems.
So the short-term effect of the amphetamine is feelings of energy and wakefulness.
Euphoria.
Of course. Excitement, increased attentiveness and concentration. I don't even know if that's actually true. That you can concentrate better on speed?
Oh, it is because the Army did all those studies. They gave it to soldiers.
They did.
And they could really focus. They could really focus on waiting for the enemy and getting their rifles ready and all that kind of stuff. They could really concentrate. And so originally the Army used it.
Right.
And it was
– and amphetamine was used for weight loss also.
Of course. Yeah.
So that was a big deal. Did you speed?
Amphetamines, I did. Never meth. I just watched.
I never did meth either.
I just heard this whole, and it's true. The German army
used
lots of methamphetamines, the entire army. You know, it was basically discovered in Japan, and Germany got a hold of this, and the normal population was using it too. And they thought it would really help the cause. And they were producing, they had factories that would produce millions and millions of pills, of meth pills, and the soldiers were all taking it.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I do remember the feeling of – I don't know if they still call it Black Beauties, Linda. Mark's too young, but that was the one.
Yeah.
The bifetamine 20s. And when that hit, it really did feel good. It was a different feeling than Quaaludes and stuff like that. But it was euphoric for sure.
But this goes to my first use of a drug. Was my mother took me to the diet doctor.
Right.
And this one diet doctor, and I think I've mentioned this before, in Queens, he made his own. So it was drops that you would put, and he said if you really wanted the effect, you put it in hot tea or in soup. If you put it in a hot beverage, a couple of drops of this, you were flying. Flying. Yeah. And that's my mother took me to the diet doctor. So I didn't think it was illegal. I didn't think I was abusing anything.
Right.
I thought that's what, you know, little 13-year-old girls who got pudgy had to do.
Wow.
Well, I think everybody thought that if it came from a doctor's office,
it was okay.
Fine. Yeah. So it's really – it's an interesting thing about meth. I mean, isn't meth – wasn't meth in diet pills?
Yes. Yeah. Methamphetamine, I guess, is one type of molecule of speed.
Right.
And it must be like the purist and people who say, I never took it by itself because by then I was off all stimulants. But,
right.
It's scary.
So the immediate effect we know, excitement,
increased concentration.
The long term could be brain damage.
Yes, it can be brain damage. And I'll tell you what. You see a lot of psychosis come from it because people are up for days when they take methamphetamines, 3 days straight.
Days and days and
paranoia,
days, and then they get drug-induced schizophrenia we see a lot of.
Well, a lot of motorcycle gangs use meth.
They sure do.
And crank.
Which is – that's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it? Even the name, crank.
I know.
It's so hard, you know?
And there's a saying in the motorcycle gangs, meth to death. I mean, that's one of the, you know, one of the big things. And one of the things you got to worry about with meth is violent and unpredictable behavior.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and such paranoia. And the crazy thing is I've had clients that came in for treatment and they felt like you know, devils were chasing them or up in the vents. And they stopped using the meth. And this didn't go away for a couple months.
Right.
You know, like they still thought there was devils up in the vents and things like that. Eventually it was drug induced and eventually it went away. But they felt like they were being chased by demons.
Okay. So here are some of the effects of using meth. Nausea, cognitive impairment, severe anxiety. Lack of appetite, obviously, if you're using it to lose weight. Teeth grinding, dizziness, increased heart rate, that's for sure. Heart palpitations, rapid breathing rate, hypertension, which is high blood pressure. increased body temperature. I won't read the next one. And irregular heartbeat.
Well, and the crazy part about it is the come down from meth.
Yeah.
The way my clients describe it, it's like going into a dark cave and they'll just sleep sometimes for days coming down from it.
I didn't like that. I did like speed and Quaaludes together.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good comment.
In this article about the cocaine, it talks about mixing the cocaine with alcohol and what happens and that most people do. And now that cocaine is mixed with fentanyl, it's really dangerous.
So all these drugs, you know, we pretty much know what it does to you when we take it because we've probably taken most of them. I think we have to impress upon our audience is and especially if there are people that are watching or listening to us now that are still using and thinking about stopping, please stop. You will reduce the risk of terrible things happening to you. But we all have to be cognizant of reality that these drugs do damage to your body. We're not even talking about your mind, to your body, because you can't put all this foreign stuff. You know, it's like you can't put glass in your body. It's not going to do anything. All this stuff does do something to your organs. Whether we know what it is or not is another question.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, one of the worst is alcohol. You know, when you look at it, there's roughly 150,000 alcohol-related deaths every year, you know, and it's one of the worst. It attacks all parts of the body, really.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, if you're just joining us now, if either watching or listening or whatever you're doing, we're talking about drugs and alcohol and what the potential damage it can do to your body even after you stop. You know, and if you want to get involved in our conversation, give us a call 1-888-728-9941. That's 1-888-728-9941. Okay. And here's another thing: if you're just listening and you want to watch us do this show, okay, you can watch us do the show if you go on Facebook and you go under our page, Clean and Sober Radio, and you can watch us do the show.
Yes, you can.
And it's fun. It's fun to watch what we look like, what we say. And guess what? You don't have to agree with this either. That's why we want you to call the number. And here's a group of folks who are watching us right now. Judge Christopher Maddox is watching us. Kathy Wolf Collin is watching. Randy Johnson is watching. William Schiffman is watching. Hey, Bill. Cliff Coblin is watching. Jay Newell. Mark Willig, he says, hi.
Hello,
Linda.
Mark.
Yeah. Bill Nolan.
My buddy.
That's your buddy?
Yeah, we play hockey together.
Cool. Laura Kellogg. Abdulaziz Aziz is watching. I hope I
think you nailed it.
I don't know. So these people are watching us now through Facebook, and it's a fun thing to do. All right, we're going to take a break right now, and we're going to come back. Let's continue, and please, audience, get involved. Tell us what your thoughts are, and what you thought when you were using, and what you thought after you stopped about the harm that the drugs and alcohol were doing. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.
Hi, this is Dion, the Wanderer. Listen to Clean and Sober Radio. You might hear something that'll change your life. Yo!
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Come on, everybody. Join this conversation. It's interesting. You know, I can talk from, you know, personally. I never thought anything was going to harm me. I didn't care what drugs I took. It always happened to somebody else.
Yeah, it's the last thing from your thinking, especially when you start young, right? You're not thinking about all, even with cigarettes,
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like, well, if this happens, if something bad happens, it's going to be a long time from now, and I don't need to worry about it.
Of course.
It. Once you get older, you're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
I'm at that time.
That's right. That's exactly right. On a lot of things, you're right, Mark. You know, I remember my father used to say to me, your health is the most important thing. I thought he was crazy. You know?
And now we're saying it to our kids.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I think what happens with your body is that we have this system where your body's always trying to come back into balance. If you're thirsty, it tells you to drink something. So the same thing happens. You put these drugs in and you have this euphoric effect, you're speeding and everything. Your body is getting exhausted trying to bring you back to normal.
Good
and
point.
After a while, you can't get back there.
Good point, Linda.
With chronic use, you're stuck in that cycle. And to get out, you have to have a painful withdrawal.
You know, I know we're going to get to marijuana. I do know people that I went to school with who used a lot of marijuana, and they're not 100% even mm-hmm. now.
I think I might be one of them, Gary. You know, like in terms of like that whole burnout thing, you know?
Did you make that appointment with the psychiatrist from last week?
No.
The electric shock treatment? Did you make that appointment?
I did not.
I meant to call that.
Not.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Just, you know. You have a number. That's enough, okay? But it's true. I mean, I think, I know the three of us. I know the two of you pretty well. I think we got, we're pretty lucky in a way.
Yeah, because that whole – I used to always hear people say burnout,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was like, I won't become – but eventually it's like your talking slows down, your ability to think. And that's one of the ones that you read about is the ability to think and have higher thought, so to speak. Well, mm-hmm. sounds mm-hmm. weird
Mark,
that way. But
you talk a lot about marijuana and what it does to a young brain. Is that reversible or what –
Not really,
right.
Because what they find is that the brain is still developing, and it develops up until roughly 25 or 26. And they find that the marijuana use from a young age impedes its development, so it doesn't – they find actually a drop in IQ points.
Do they really?
Yes, and this is in chronic users, you know, chronic users where, you know, it's definitely more harmful for somebody that's young to be using marijuana than somebody after their brain matures.
So do you know if when somebody stops, does the IQ go back up? Or?
That I am not sure of. Mm-hmm. I am not sure if that when they stop, it actually goes back. Do you know, Linda?
I don't know. I don't know if it goes back.
Well,
or
here's
not,
a list. Of,
we've seen a lot of these young people that we're not sure that they can really reason anymore. It's daily use. And they say, oh, it's fine. It's fine. They're not really fine.
Right. And I guess we won't know the long-term effects for a young person until they get older, right?
Yeah, and imagine just even on the lungs, even on the lungs. I mean, there's so much – anybody that was familiar with the resin and stuff, this black, dark stuff that's in stuff that people smoke out mm-hmm. of, the lungs just get – it can lead to a lot of problems with breathing eventually.
So, you know, I go back to the, you know, the legalization of marijuana and all that stuff. And it's a real hot mess.
It will be. It's very, very bad right now because what you're seeing is you're getting the parents are doing it more. The parents are having it around. They have these little carts that the kids are doing it in their school, in high school. You know, they pass it off it like it's a vape. And it is a vape and they're vaping it. And it's really could have some real We could have some real big problems in the next few years coming mm-hmm. out because of this. And you and I have talked about it from the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. You know? We talked, you know, once it started with the medical marijuana, we knew, you know, but money supersedes benefits of the people always.
Yeah, and hopefully this is – because it's becoming legal, hopefully it's kind of like – lots of people are doing it and then some of them will stop, you know, like it's just popular, the popular thing to do. I mean, I'm hoping that because it's a new thing that these numbers will come down.
I took a drive last week out from where we live out to the suburbs, maybe 40 minutes away from here.
Yeah.
And I was on a main road. I was on 30. I must have seen 8 new dispensaries
yeah.
on that main road.
Yeah.
And there used to be one. There used to be one in Devon. And now from our house to Paoli, which is like almost 40 minutes, I saw six or eight. And most of them were new. And some of them weren't even open yet. I think they're waiting till it becomes 100% legal. Some of them weren't the medical dispensaries.
Yeah.
Billboards.
They start with CBD and the other thing. Yeah. You don't know. And I think one of the things to point out is that we're talking about habitual use. We're not talking about somebody who uses it at a party one time and doesn't pick up again.
You mean for marijuana?
Yeah, for marijuana.
Okay.
Yeah, they try it once. They feel dizzy. They feel okay, but they don't want to do it again. It was never my favorite thing. So we're not talking about people who try it mm-hmm. at a party. We're right. talking about somebody who the next day after the party goes looking for it again.
Right. Can that be said of the other drugs? Opioids? Is there a recreational use for opioids?
Well...
Linda,
Mark and I we're looking at each other like, well,
I mean, for all this stuff, is there, can you be a recreational user
yes.
for meth?
No.
You have some
with
people
meth, no.
that are not very addictive. You know, you have some people that can put stuff down whenever they want,
yeah.
you know?
And stop. And,
but it could still get them because of, you know, overdoses and things like that. There's definitely that huge difference, you know? So it's pretty scary stuff.
It is scary stuff. I just wanted so
you love that button. By the
he
way.
Loves that button.
I know.
Well, when you talk about it, I think about
a scary button.
What I think about all the time, being an old person, is you go to the hospital, you go to a doctor.
You're not an old person, Linda. Okay?
Oh, okay. That's only because you were so young.
I shouldn't have.
You shouldn't have done that.
I know. Remind me.
So you go to the hospital. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a little fender bender, and I'm in the ER. There was nothing wrong with me, but because I'm old, they made me go in the ambulance. So. I'm there, and the lady says, are you in pain? I tell her, yeah, my neck hurts a little. Right away, she offered me an opioid. Right away.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have a sign on me that says, don't give me anything. But my husband was there with me. You know, she says, do you want Tramadol? I'm like, no. I don't want Tramadol. I don't want any opiates, synthetic or not. And she just looks at me like I was crazy. Like, why wouldn't I want something for the pain? I said, you can give me some Tylenol if it makes you feel better. But
yeah, I generally the medical community is ignorant
clueless.
About addiction.
Unless they've had it in their family.
Unless
you know.
They had it in their family.
It's getting a little better.
It's a little
is
better.
Is it getting better?
A
little better. Yeah, they're getting they're definitely getting more education and all that, the doctors and things. But we'll see. Hopefully it just keeps getting better.
One of the side effects is that you have to be vigilant. So we're sober, but we can get offered drugs anytime, any day from a doctor, from a friend. And just because you stopped, and I know this, even if you stopped for 26 years, a doctor gave me a prescription and then I was off to the races and had to go to rehab
right.
with 26 years clean.
Yeah.
So stuff happens. People give you things and you think, and we get a lot of this in AA. I was only an alcoholic. Well, no, apparently you have the addictive gene if you would take – just because you never took a Quaalude or you never took a Tramadol or an Oxy doesn't mean you won't get addicted.
Absolutely correct. You know, I have a list here of effects of marijuana. Nobody believes any of this stuff. You know, severe anxiety, hallucinations, loss of sense of personal identity – lower reaction time, increased risk of stroke. Nobody believes any of this.
Not
Nobody
at all.
Nobody believes anything.
Well, I did.
You don't think it's going to happen to them.
I used to be the guy that wrote papers in college about all the benefits of it. And
right?
you know, they put it like it's this vitamin at this point, you know. But where it really affects you is decision-making too, making bad decisions, you know. And I do believe that, you know, you're just much more likely to come across other drugs and experiment with them if you're smoking pot because you're hanging out with people and next thing you know, they have a perk or
right.
they have
sure.
you know,
yes.
hallucinogenics or something like that and you want to try it.
Absolutely. What do you have, Linda? Do you have any?
What did I have? I had Coke and Tramadol and –
So let's talk about Tramadol for
okay.
a minute.
Let's talk
so,
about it.
You know, I think it was just classified. It was classified as a non-narcotic. I think it's a narcotic now, and it is addictive.
Absolutely.
It is an opioid. It is made differently. So when they marketed it and they made it, they said because they were making it synthetically that it would act differently. It doesn't act different in your body. They're making it different in the factory. And they sold it to doctors based on it not being addictive. And that was the first thing the rheumatologist gave me when he diagnosed me with the fibromyalgia.
It was Tramadol.
And he said, it's completely safe. Don't worry about it. You're not going to get addicted. And it was a long, hard road. It was terrible.
And Tramadol, for everybody, is a pain.
It's a painkiller.
Painkiller.
And we were on to it. Back around 2010 or whatever when this came out, you know, as counselors, you know, we were like, here it goes again. This is another, you know, drug company ploy that's going to get people addicted. Because I remember them saying it wasn't addictive. And we quickly started to see people addicted to it.
Especially out in the suburbs. It's a pill thing, the pill addicts. And taking for long periods of time more than intended, being unable to cut down, spending a lot of time using and recovering from the effects of using, failing to fulfill obligations, continuing substance abuse, giving up social, recreation, or occupational activities, tolerance, needing more. With Tramadol, you need more right away. Mm-hmm. And withdrawal, very bad withdrawal from it. Just the same as exactly as any opioid.
If you're in need of help right now, call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. And you know, everybody, if you have anybody in your family or you know somebody who's an addict, you should have that number on your refrigerator, just like poison control. 1-800-662-HELP. It will be answered by trained people in the medical community, and they will attempt to do their best to get you some kind of help. And Mark, what is the suicide?
988 is the National Suicide Hotline. And so if you're having thoughts, call that number and get some help. And by the way, springtime is the highest number of suicides, believe it or not. Now we're getting into summer.
Oh, I always thought it was Christmas and
New
Year's.
That's what I thought.
No, it's in the spring.
Really?
It's in the spring. Yeah, because a lot
when
of times,
people are happy?
Well, yeah. So what they see is they're depressed. And they start looking around, and everybody seems like they're happy. And then they're even more depressed.
Oh.
Yeah,
that makes sense, you know. But I also thought it was about holiday times. But it makes sense. You know, it's everybody – you see people outside. People are doing things, feeling good about themselves probably, and you're not. And that's not cool.
And it's possible, too, that sometimes you get somebody that's so depressed that they have – no energy to follow through with a suicide attempt. And,
right.
you know, maybe they're getting a little more energy in the spring and they have that energy to actually follow through.
Oh,
right. 1-888-728-9941 is our number to get involved with the conversation. You know, we haven't heard from Mark Willig in a while.
Yeah, good old Mark,
come on, Mark.
Willig. I think
he should call in. What's he doing?
Absolutely. And also, if you're watching us on Facebook, if you could do us a favor and share the show, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that's right. And if you are watching, like these great folks, Joel Cooper, I might have repeated this. He's a great dentist, I'll tell you that. Debbie Reynolds, let me see who I didn't get.
Zach Cooper. He says, I'm seeing more and more marijuana. He's a lawyer for people who know.
Zach's
on.
A DUI lawyer.
Zach's on. Yep.
Seeing more and more cases, especially with individuals with medical cards, and they believe they can't get in trouble. This is a huge issue.
Yeah.
It's a gigantic issue.
It's great to have him on because he is an expert, and I know this is good for his business, but the situation of marijuana is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
You know, C.J. Thomas just joined us, so welcome, C.J. Accidentally stumbled across this on AM radio. Well, that's fantastic.
Wonderful.
Welcome. Thanks for the support for the show. Linda-eyed Flowers is watching. Did I ruin it?
I'm just going to say you pronounce them all perfectly.
Steven Sussman. Yeah. is watching from Palm Beach, Florida. Steven, how are you, buddy? Lisandro Grifoli Martinez is watching. Betsy Green, I have 34 years of sobriety, and I have been diagnosed with two different illnesses that both connect to my brain. Two different doctors have confirmed that many years of abuse of drugs and alcohol could be a contributing factor. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we hope you feel better, Betsy, but thanks for bringing that up because it's real. It is definitely real. Holly is watching. Kenesi Kiala is watching. Why are you giving me all the hard names?
I'm not getting – you're more popular than
you're
I
more
am.
Popular. Yeah. We don't see all
I'm
those
not
names.
Seeing them either.
Right. Just after Zach, I don't see any.
Frank yes. Brightman.
Frank Brightman.
Oh, Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Attorneys.
The best.
In Havertown. Now, this looks like Arab. I can't read what it says, but these people are watching, but it's in Arabic.
That's good.
That's very cool. Mashina Abraha is watching. Vic Doc Doherty is watching. Oh, great. Brahma Kumbara is watching. Ricardo Mandela is watching. All right, we'll get back to everybody. Mark Willig, welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brother. We have missed you.
Yes, we have. Hello, Mark.
Missed you guys and that pretty lady, Linda.
Hi, Mark.
And hi.
That's a good one.
Hey, Mark, what are you asking for a date? Is that what's, is this where this is going?
No. We're in recovery. We have spiritual principles these days.
Hey, Mark, what do you think about the subject matter? Is there any truth in it?
Well, here's what I think, Gary. Yeah. And I think you and Linda can agree with me. And Mark, he's a little younger than we are, so... But when we were growing up, we never thought, if you were using, you were cool. If you didn't use, you were a narc.
Yeah, right.
Oh, we were cool.
So we were the cool ones, and we never had to worry about what's fentanyl,
Right.
We never had to worry about anything, but if it's Jamaican, if it's Mexican, if it's Colombian, or if we were real lucky, it was like Hawaiian, So that was our biggest dilemma, And were they lemons or roars?
were they bootlegs or real?
Right.
Bootlegs are real. And we knew if they were bootlegs because we always, came down like you would come down from meth. Like you would get a headache and you just felt horrible. But today, listen, I've done my share of drugs. I've done your share of drugs, Sigmund's share, but today, when you think about it, and you guys are talking about what it does to the brain and everything, and what it does to the frontal cortex, and what it does to the brain is, if you stop, it takes a good maybe 2 years for it to get back to the semi-normal. So, it's like Gary and I just stopped smoking. So that doesn't mean that our lungs are like pristine, great lungs. I mean, it takes time to build up the tissue, the scar tissue, and the damage we did. And when you're smoking pot, how many times, I know when I was young, that I used to have contests with people like, who could smoke the roach until they burn their hands.
Right.
And that is the worst part. I mean, it's like what Mark said before, like the residue in a bowl. Hey, that's the good stuff. Well, that's what it looks like on your lungs.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell you guys, I've had so many health problems. And I've been clean for 25 years. I haven't picked up a drug. You were talking about the tramadol, and that's what the doctors do. They give you when you have a surgery, they give you opiates for a week, and then they say, well, we're not giving you any more opiates, but we'll give you tramadol. Now they give you the tramadol, and you can't. You're taking them to get high. I'm not me personally, but I'm just saying, people taking them because they want to get rid of the pain. And if it's not getting rid of the pain, like what Linda said, you take more. All of a sudden, you're taking them to get high, and you're taking them to maintain, And, you know, same thing with the meth and the pot. Like, one is to, you know, get awake, be awake. One is to go to sleep. If you don't do either of them, you're normal.
Mark, can you hang on? Mark, hang on. We're gonna take a break. Hang on with us. And I guess the question I'm posing to everybody is, do you think you got away scot-free after years of addiction? We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Diversity in the workplace is more than gender, ethnicity, and even age. It also means people in recovery. The Higher Calling Foundation works to end the stigma of substance use disorders in the workplace by helping those in recovery find jobs, get career counseling, and more. All things insurance doesn't cover, and all at no cost. And encouraging businesses to hire employees in recovery. Because with the Great Resignation, there are jobs to be filled, and employees in recovery are an untapped demographic. It's mutually beneficial, and it's simply good business. Started by employment attorney in recovery Kevin Heyer, the Higher Calling Foundation believes everyone deserves a second chance and works to make that happen. And now, diversity in the workplace demands it. Visit HigherCalling.org. That's H-Y-E-R calling.org. And find out how we can help you.
Hey, man, this is Ricky Bird, former member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, an inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as of 2015. And I listen to Clean and Sober Radio, and so do my friends here, right?
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Mark, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Good. Man. I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
I know you do, brother. I know you do. So, Mark, can you – you've had some issues, and do you think any of them have any remote connection to your addiction?
Gary, they all have connections to my addiction, even after all this time.
Decades.
I mean, when you smoke pot – I mean, it's worse than smoking cigarettes. You're smoking pot and cigarettes, so it's going to do damage. You do quaaludes, you know, it damages your nervous system. You do drugs, and it causes damage. And even though you know, I haven't done them in a while, it's still inside me, and it affects my walking. It affects my breathing, not as bad, but, you know, I thank God that I'm alive. I mean, you know, I take drugs, so I don't have to take drugs. Crazy, but that's what it is. But the drugs I take are, like, for me, like, to not pee a lot. And, you know, it's like I stand outside of the Tower Theater and sell Lipitor, you know, and that's how I would make money. But you know, we can't take this for granted, especially now, because the kids today, with the vaping and the pots that they have now and the dispensaries. I mean, did you think when we were growing up, even Mark? I mean, you know, did you think that pot would be legal?
Of course,
never in a million years.
No,
never in a million years.
Never.
What is this world coming to? People are going to die because the world is going to pot. And you know, I don't care how good it is for you, you know. So if it's for pain, you know what? I'm all in favor, not for me personally, but if you have to do something for pain and the medical marijuana, eat the gummies. Don't eat the gummies to get high because you're not going to get high.
You know, look, Mark, it's like anything else. Nobody thinks negative things are going to happen to them. Nobody commits crimes thinking they have any possibility of getting caught. So it's always the other guy. And unfortunately, even through education, people are not believing that addiction is long-term after you stop.
Long-term. And I think it started when crack was introduced, you know, because why would you rob a bank now? So you could buy your girlfriend a mink coat? Yeah, so you could buy drugs. That's what most of the bank robberies were about, and the store robberies and stealing guns. And you know, it's crazy. I'm telling you. I'm glad I live in the suburbs, but...
All right. It sounds like you're getting. Don't get so excited, Mark. Relax. I don't want to. I don't want anything to happen to you.
Listen. I got to tell you. I went out to dinner with my wife a few weeks ago. We went to the same diner that you and I went to.
Yes.
And we had the same waitress. And the waitress says, "Oh, I remember you. You were talking to me about Aerosmith."
Right.
I said, "Yeah, that's right. I was with my friend Gary," and she said, "Yep." He said, Jamie's got a gun and Jamie's crying. And then I stopped for a second. And I said, you know, you're such an authority on Aerosmith, but Jamie's crying was Van Halen.
So that's funny. Said, that's funny.
Mark,
are you watching? Guys, are you watching us?
I was watching, but now that I'm on the phone.
Let me tell you who else is watching us. Jeff Servetnik is watching us. Savas mm-hmm. Sain is watching us. Najim Viet Hung is watching us. There's a lot of this in another language, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Savas Sahin, Mohammed Kasim, MD Ronnie is watching. Sahajan Ali is watching. I must be destroying everybody.
What happened to our friend from the Maldives Island?
That's a very good question.
We haven't seen him on. What was his name again?
His name was Mohammed
Amid or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope he's all right, you know. Sugaman Manik is watching. It's interesting. I wonder where these people are watching from. I wish they could let us know.
Yeah, maybe they can post. Well, we can't read it.
Can't read
it. It's in Arabic. We can translate it in Google.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
Google
idea.
Google Translate.
Okay. So, anyway, so
Mark,
guys.
Mark, let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Tell me one ailment, if you would like to, that you have, and what do you think caused it as far as addiction? What drug? You think Quaaludes did anything to you?
Well, I think Quaaludes I'm sure Quaaludes have something to do with my nervous system, which, you know, sometimes I can't sleep and you know, I just think that long-term Quaaludes, I think, and you can agree with me on this, Gary, if they were still out there and they were still flowing, we would probably be dead.
You're probably right, Mark, for sure.
You know, but I'm not going to make that assumption. But, I mean, I know, like, coke and meth, you know, I was the only guy. I was the only guy that did meth and got fat. So
must have been really bad meth you were using.
I smoked a lot though. See, that's another thing. Like when you do meth, it makes you smoke. You got to do something. Yeah. You know, we were talking about our buddy from Abbeford Avenue that walked up and down the street was smoking. You know, and he wasn't on meth, but I mean, he looked. You could have sworn he was. You know.
That's right.
And, you know, what's it all about? But, you know,
what's it all about? Hey, Mark, listen, buddy, we got to run.
I love you guys.
Listen, love you too. Thanks for calling in and have a great weekend.
Have a good time down the shore. And, Sidman, I will talk to you.
Absolutely, you Mark.
Okay.
All right.
All right, brother.
Bye, sweetheart.
Bye, honey.
Be well.
Bye.
See you, Mark.
All right, we're coming up. We have about 3 more minutes.
Okay, so one thing Brad brought up while we were using drugs, when we were in high school, we're talking about the 70s, the only thing that we were afraid of was LSD.
Yeah.
Somehow that message got through to us from our biology teachers or something that we would have birth defects of our babies if we tripped.
And bad trips. And you wouldn't come back.
But I remember a guy having a bad trip for 3 days when I was in high school. It was horrible. So I saw a bad trip, and we had that thing. So that was something I never tried. And Mark brought up something else, that when you stop, people think when they stop using that minute they're going to feel better. But it depends how much you've used and for how long. There's something called post-acute withdrawal, where you still act like an addict and think like an addict, your thinking is still impaired. And that can go on for 6 to 9 months or 2 years, right? Yeah, Mark absolutely. Can speak on that.
Well, I would like Mark to speak on it, but we got to run.
Oh,
we got to roll.
Too.
Okay,
it's time
yes.
for the weekend.
Remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. If you would like Clean and Sober Radio to be broadcasted from your city, please let your local radio station know about us and let us know on our website which station in your city you will be contacted. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about this broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com.
Alana was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it's cancer. As a parent, when you're told this type of news, you're going to do whatever you can do for your babies. When we got to St. Jude is when I realized that, no, you're not going to get a bill for anything. I don't have to worry about it. They're saying we're going to help save her, and we're not going to charge you anything. This is what we do.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.